Secretary of State Vance this morning is deep in talks with Egyptian officials about the Middle East crisis and possible means of solving it. His immediate aim is to set the stage for a reconvened peace conference at Geneva. Bernard Kalb has the story in Alexandria.
The U.S. delegation is cautiously accenting the positive. A spokesman saying Secretary Vance is enthusiastic about his opening round of talks with President Sadat last night. No details on the substance of their talks was made available. What Vance wants is to clear the obstacles in the way of a Geneva conference, and towards that goal, he is pursuing and obviously proposing flexibility. And Egyptians here are portraying President Sadat as being eminently flexible, as determined not to let the PLO issue obstruct a Geneva conference. Even before Vance arrived here, President Sadat let it be known that Egypt has alternatives to get around the issue of PLO participation, which is resisted by Israel. And one Egyptian source says Sadat's alternatives include a formula to establish a provisional Palestinian government that would, in effect, replace the PLO. This morning, Vance met with Foreign Minister Fahmy. Tonight, he meets with President Sadat. Later, a joint news conference. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Alexandria.
The Palestine Liberation Organization has issued a statement in Beirut, again declaring that it must take part on an independent and equal basis in any effort to solve the Middle East crisis.
My good friend Alan wanted to buy a new car. He wanted company. So there I was, standing in a Datsun showroom, minding my own business, when suddenly it dawned on me. Economy doesn't have to be dull.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
Wow, that Datsun V2 10 Plus. Racy stripes, reclining bucket seats.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
5-speed gearbox, steel belted radials, cut pile carpeting.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
All standard on Datsun V2 10 Plus. Plus 46 miles per gallon highway, 30 city. These are EPA estimates. Your mileage may vary.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you. Datsun says.
Oh, Alan bought a green one. I got blue.
Take a test drive soon at your nearby Datsun dealer. Suddenly it'll dawn on you, Datsun saves in all kinds of ways. KNX News Radio Time, 7:03.
Senate and House conferees today remain at loggerheads over auto emission standards. They'll meet again late this afternoon, hoping to work out a compromise. The conferees are under pressure because the auto industry has threatened to halt production unless it gets a bill it can live with. Yesterday's meeting lasted until late evening, and Phil Jones reports how it went.
House conferees were first to propose their basic approach, more lenient auto emission standards over a longer period. The Senate countered with stricter and earlier auto emission standards. House conferees wouldn't budge, and the meeting broke up with Congressman John Dingell charging that some senators want a deadlock.
Some seem content to leave us with a set of circumstances whereby the auto industry may find itself shut, with all of the evils and ills that are attendant not only to the workers in the industry, but to the whole of the American economy stemming from a shutdown of the auto industry.
But Senator Jennings Randolph discounted a deadlock.
We're trying very diligently to not be in the position of polarization here on points. We're trying to modify our positions somewhat. I think we're prepared to do more than we have done.
That optimism is still shared by most conferees, who indicate that the matter will be resolved by week's end, with the auto companies getting their one-year delay in 1978 auto emission standards. Then the companies won't shut down, and members of Congress will go home without any worries for a month-long vacation. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The House began debate yesterday on President Carter's energy program, also aiming for completion by the end of the week. Late today, the representatives will tear themselves away from that massive legislative matter for a while and discuss the issue of abortion. Yesterday, Attorney General Griffin Bell ruled that existing federal law prohibits the use of federal money to pay for abortions, even in cases of rape or incest, except where necessary to save the life of the mother. Members of the House Agriculture Committee are holding a hearing today on the subject of ice cream. And we'll hear about that from Richard Roth.
At issue is a rule change proposed by the Food and Drug Administration, which would allow ice cream manufacturers to substitute casein, a chemical protein derived from milk, for the milk or cream now required in any frozen dessert labeled ice cream. The International Association of Ice Cream Manufacturers says ice cream made without milk or cream would still taste, look, and drip the way old formula ice cream does. The National Milk Producers Federation represents dairy farmers who might suffer if the proposed new recipe is allowed, and the milk producers say the FDA's plan threatens the integrity of ice cream. The dairymen will tell Congress that if the Food and Drug Administration has its way, ice cream will be made of sodium caseinate, modified whey protein, and corn syrup. The ice cream manufacturers will say the new recipe ice cream might save consumers money, and they'll promise it would remain nutritious, delicious, and in their words, America's number one fun food. Richard Roth, CBS News, Washington.
The FDA proposal has come under fire from the chairman of two agriculture subcommittees, Democrats Fred Richmond of New York and Charles Rose of North Carolina. Richmond says he doesn't think anything should be done to lower the quality of ice cream. Rose says the dispute indicates a symptom of a larger attack by food imitators on the FDA's past restrictions. If the trend continues, he adds, FDA will end up sanctioning all imitation food products.
There I was at the drive-in with Michael when this luxurious car pulls in, a Datsun 810. Suddenly it dawned on me. Economy can be beautiful.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
The Datsun 810, the luxury of a European touring car, powered by a fuel-injected 240Z engine at a price that's pure Datsun.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you. Datsun says...
There I was at the drive-in with Sheila when the sporty number pulls up, a Datsun 200SX. Suddenly it dawned on me. Hey, Datsun is more than economy.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
The Datsun 200SX. In performance, handling, styling, this just may be the sportiest car known to man. For under $4,700.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you. Datsun says...
Cambodian forces attacked two villages before dawn in eastern Thailand, and a Thai army spokesman says at least 28 people were killed. Dave Hatcher, reporting from Bangkok, notes that this is the latest episode in 2 weeks of violent clashes along the Thai-Cambodian border.
12 days ago, 17 Thai army soldiers and border patrol police were killed when a much larger Khmer Rouge force ambushed them inside Thailand. Estimates of Khmer Rouge casualties ran as high as 50 killed. That clash, 130 miles east of Bangkok, was the most serious border incident since the communists seized power in Cambodia 2 years ago. Another cross-border raid a week ago left 8 Thais dead and 4 wounded and completely destroyed their small border settlement. Thai military commanders at the border say they are willing to fight, but the generals here in Bangkok have apparently decided on strong diplomatic protest instead of armed retaliation. Some observers see the latest Khmer Rouge offensive as a definite escalation of hostilities. Last month, for the first time, the regular armies on both sides were called in. Border disputes between Thailand and Cambodia have historically been a major source of friction. But the midnight attack last night follows what the Thais say is a decision by Phnom Penh to increase the stakes in this small border war. Dave Hatcher for CBS News, Bangkok.
For the second time in 3 days, China has sounded off against American policy in Korea. Peking's military representative in North Korea last night called for withdrawal of all U.S. forces from the south, and we'll hear about that from Mike Chinoy in Hong Kong.
The statement by the Chinese military attaché in North Korea appears to mark a significant toughening of Peking's position. The attaché accused the Carter administration of violating its campaign promise to withdraw immediately all American troops from South Korea. As evidence, he pointed to the administration's decision to keep most American troops in the country until 1982 and to continue to give the South Koreans American military assistance. The Chinese official declared that the Korean problem should be solved by the Korean people themselves and again demanded the immediate withdrawal of all U.S. troops and equipment. And, in an unusually firm declaration of support for North Korea, the attaché predicted that the divided peninsula would certainly be reunited under the leadership of North Korean President Kim Il-sung. Mike Chinoy for CBS News, Hong Kong.
North Korea's new proclamation of a 50-mile military sea frontier is being tested today by South Korea. An ocean-going vessel with more than 400 passengers has sailed into waters off North Korea's western coast, and it has reached a South Korean island that apparently is included in the new zone. There was no interference. South Korea says it refuses to recognize the newly announced military frontier.
Here's one more reason for bringing your business to the West's oldest bank. Another new Wells Fargo office has just opened. This newest Wells Fargo bank is at 4444 Van Nuys Boulevard in Sherman Oaks. There you'll find that manager Joseph L. Betts and his staff have combined modern convenience like drive-up windows with a kind of personal effort that Wells Fargo is famous for. You'll be able to take advantage of innovative services like stagecoach checks, the gold account, and the Wells Fargo reward. Plus, personal service from a Wells Fargo personal banker, someone you can call upon for help with any banking question. And enjoy the convenience of banking with the outfit that's serving more people in the Los Angeles area every day. So if you live in or near the Sherman Oaks area, stop by the new Wells Fargo office at Van Nuys Boulevard and Moore Park Street. Wells Fargo, the bank that's 125 years old and still growing. Member FDIC.
5. Has suddenly become a major menace in Alaska. Ted Lane of station KFRB reports from Fairbanks.
Over 1 million acres of Alaska have now been burned in one of the worst forest fire years in memory. Extremely dry, hot days are making the job of the hundreds of firefighters committed extremely difficult. About 45 of the 55 fires burning in the state are uncontrolled, including a fire burning near the Trans-Alaska pipeline about 75 miles north of Fairbanks. Last night, winds swept that blaze around fire breaks, and another 1,000 acres was quickly consumed, making the total on that fire now over 5,000 acres. The fire boss, Elmer Hurd, commented at his base camp about the burning conditions this year.
The conditions are very dry. The burning conditions are explosive. We've had fire years where we've had numerous fires similar to this year, but the conditions haven't been this dry or this bad for many, many years.
Hurt now says it's likely he will have to burn out several thousand more acres ahead of the fire to be sure to stop it before it threatens pipeline facilities. This is Ted Lane for CBS News, Fairbanks, Alaska.
The supertanker Orco Juno left the southern port of Valdez last night and now is southbound bound with more than 800,000 barrels of Alaskan crude oil. The first load of oil from the North Slope to reach the south via the Alaska pipeline. The
World News Roundup has been sponsored by Wells Fargo Bank, serving the West since 1852, and by Datsun and your nearby Datsun dealer.